A national reckoning on racism has prompted many to confront their ideas about race and identity. And that not only includes outer identity, but linguistic identity as well. Here and Now producer Chico Theori has thought a lot about how she speaks and the ways others perceive it, and she has this essay.
I'm a first-generation American born of immigrant parents from Kenya. My mom and dad both moved here to receive an education, and they've been able to achieve their version of the American dream as professors. My mom teaches food and nutrition, and my dad teaches accounting. And of course, public speaking and interpersonal communication are crucial in their professions. And my parents have been doing this for decades, but my mom had some challenges at first.
When I came to the U.S., people speak with a lot of power, with a lot of loud voice. I was used to speaking low.
She spoke too softly for Americans, specifically for the Americans she met at her first teaching job at Northern Kentucky University.
And so they say, "What did you say?" I hate that.
My mom's laughing now, but she really did hate being told to speak up. As the years went by, her Kenyan accent also evolved, so much so that when she returns to Kenya, people there notice she sounds different.
I don't like that because it makes me stand out. If you're sounding like an American or sounding, your accent is like British, they equate that with, oh, this person has traveled and has lived among Americans or British. They must be of a different class. They must have more money. So if you go to the marketplace and open your mouth to start to purchase something, once they hear your accent, your price goes up.
And for that reason, whenever I'm visiting family in Kenya and we're at a market, I just keep my mouth shut. But when people there do hear me speak, they automatically revoke my Kenyan card, saying I sound like
the whites, or wazungus, as we call them here.
That's my cousin Martha.
My first impression of Chico's accent when she spoke was very impressive and very different from how we pronounce words here in Kenya.
She's probably the first person I've ever heard describe my accent in that way, and we've struggled to communicate at times, especially when I would say particular words.
For example, she says wara, and in Kenya, we say water.
Growing up in the U.S. gave me a dual sense of identity. I was Kenyan at home, eating food like ugali, chapati, wearing kitenges, and occasionally mixing my mother tongue Kikuyu with English. But when I left the house, I was American. And like my mother, I too stuck out like a sore thumb. First, in the suburban Cincinnati neighborhood I grew up in, I was one of a handful of Black kids. Second, I had to help out with the pronunciation of my name again and again. But when it came to the way I spoke, I fit right in. My family would occasionally mingle with the other few African families in the area, and the only interaction I had with American kids who looked like me was at church. The Black kids there expected me to sound something like this.
I won this bronze damn Olympic medal in Beijing, China, for individual synchronized swimming. I bet you didn't even know there was a such thing as individual synchronized swimming.
And honestly, I'll never sound like NeNe Leakes in Glee, even though the show is set in Ohio.
I'm going to say one thing to you, Sam Evans, and I'm only going to say it to you once. If you pee in my pool, I will kill you.
For some reason, the white kids never flinched or made comments about the way I spoke. Maybe because I sounded like them. But the Black kids, they were very vocal about it.
Like you're an Oreo.
My college friend, Allison Johnson, says right from when I opened my mouth, they probably thought of me as different.
Like basically Black on the outside but white on the inside just because you talk proper. I guess like the tone of voice, your certain word choices.
During my high school years, I attended an international boarding school in Kenya. There were plenty of people from all over the world, but I was the Black American who sounded white. I was the Oreo.
If you sounded what people stereotype of an African-American speaker is, it would be weird. Like, how did you come out that way?
This is Nicole Holliday, a professor of linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania. Holliday also says the fact that I'm young and a woman who grew up in a middle-class area in the U.S. has a heavy influence on the way I speak. She says it's typical that people like me, kids of immigrants, don't interact all that much with people who speak what's considered Black American English. I ask her, what is Black American English anyway? Holiday says it links back to the fact that Black people didn't speak English when they were forcibly brought to America.
In the conditions of slavery, where they were acquiring English in this, you know, kind of unusual way, they weren't being like taught it in schools, and they were getting input from all of these different Europeans, and they had their first language. So their first languages were being influenced by the English that they were speaking. So the way that Black people were speaking in the United States has always been different than the way that most white people were speaking.
And most enslaved Africans lived in the South. But later, Black Americans started moving elsewhere across the country. This was the time of the Great Migration between 1916 and 1970. And of course, the way they spoke evolved.
And really, like, we are carrying around our ancestral experiences as well as our personal experiences in the language that we speak, too. And that's sort of something that you're getting at here.
While in college, I came to understand that Blackness meant more than American Blackness. I realized it included me, the child of immigrant parents. I met other students who grew up in American suburbs and learned to accept the fact that I didn't have to speak a certain way to be considered Black. We were Black enough. I was Black enough. And I realized that the weight of my linguistic identity may not be that significant after all. Maybe people are becoming more open to the fact that Black people are not a monolith, that we don't all speak the same way. I think we're seeing a little bit of that now as the Black Lives Matter movement continues its momentum. There are more calls for the uplifting of Black voices to share their beliefs, their experiences. But yet, when this happens, I still hear people I know react by saying, oh, they're so articulate, or wow, they speak so well.
This idea that there's a problem with sounding identifiably African American is just racism.
If they have that preconceived prejudice, it doesn't matter how you say things or what you say, they're always going to complain.
My mom, like me, has learned to embrace her own accent. She's still teaching in the Midwest, but no longer conflicted about the way she speaks. She kicks off each semester saying this to her new students.
My accent is different. I'm not from Southern Indiana. I know that whoever listens to me speak understands exactly what I'm saying. That's when I realize it's an asset. It's what makes me.
And I have to agree with her. The distinct way in which I speak, different from my mom and different from many other Black Americans, is what makes me, me. For Here and Now, I'm Shiko Thiuri.